Hello and welcome into a very special bonus episode of Locked On Wolves. Quick reaction to the Mike Conley and D'Angelo Russell trade. Why I really like this trade for the Timberwolves. I think the Wolves made out very well. I'll break down why the Wolves did it and how Conley fits with Minnesota. It's all upcoming. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Today's bonus episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to you by LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/LockedOnNBA. I'm recording this after the trade, immediately following Wolves Jazz on Wednesday night. So I've had a couple of hours. I guess I'm cheating a little. It's not a completely instant reaction, but it's pretty close. And I'll have a much more expanded look at the trade for Thursday's episode of Locked On Wolves. So come back. I will expand. I will have more numbers, more stats that I'm breaking down, and really kind of diving into Conley's season so far, the last couple of seasons, to give a larger sample. His numbers with Rudy Gobert. All that stuff will be on tomorrow's show. But I want to give a quick kind of rundown of what I liked about the trade. First of all, though, a big thank you if you do make Locked On Wolves your first listen every day, and you have the opportunity to do that tomorrow with a fuller episode about this topic, about this big trade. You can find this show anywhere you listen to podcasts. You can also watch it on YouTube or the Locked On Sports Minnesota app on Roku or Amazon Fire TV. All right, let's go ahead and get into it. So, number one, the reason the Timberwolves did this, of course, D'Angelo Russell had an expiring contract. At the end of the season, D'Lo would have walked for nothing. He's a free agent. The Wolves don't even get that cap space, right? It's a little bit of a quirk, but the Wolves would have had to work to create cap space, and they would not have had the same amount of space as Russell's 30-plus million expiring contract. So unless you want to just light that money on fire, essentially, you kind of had to use it. And you can't trade him for just anybody, because obviously you need to find a trade partner that's able and willing to take back that contract, and you have to take back enough salary to, you know, be within the percentage that you need to match the contract, right? You can't just like all, that's why the trade machine exists, obviously, right? So the Wolves needed to get something for the salary slot for D'Lo. In getting Mike Conley, and I want to talk about the specific fit here in a minute, but I'll talk about the obvious kind of high level here. Plays the same position essentially as D'Lo. He's more of a true point guard than D'Angelo Russell. Russell's more of a combo guard, shoot first guy. And Conley's, of course, had those moments in his career, but he's more of a pass first, traditional type point guard than Russell. He's obviously got more playoff experience, more high level experience in playing on playoff teams, for whatever that's worth. And to be clear, I don't think there's any real rumblings that D'Angelo Russell was like an issue in the locker room, right? Guys liked him. D'Lo seems like he's a good guy, right? There's no massive issues there. But Mike Conley is known for being a very good locker room presence, is known for being a, you know, good person in the community and in the locker room and, you know, a floor general, all that stuff that you want. And like you're, and this sounds like really, you know, old school, but like a traditional floor general point guard type player. Conley is all of those things. And he plays the same position, which was then a position of need. Now, the Wolves don't need to worry about extending D'Angelo Russell and overpaying him, which whoever extends him likely will overpay, because you're paying for all the things D'Lo does well. You're paying for scoring, but it's volatile, right? It's a roller coaster of scoring. It's not consistency, and it's not consistent defense. And even the best case defense is average at best, and you don't get that very often, right? So all that to say, you're overpaying for D'Lo extension. So now the Wolves get something that's certain in Mike Conley. Like, we know what he is. Yes, he's regressing. Yes, he's far past his prime. We know that. That's true. But we also generally know what the baseline is for Mike Conley. You know what you're going to get on a nightly basis, game in and game out, for Mike Conley. So the Wolves fill that position for the rest of the season and for next year, if they want to keep Conley for next year, at a smaller salary than D'Lo. They stay under the luxury tax, which is very important. Basically, the Wolves should be about $17 million now below the luxury tax line, the projected tax line, this offseason. And they have some flexibility. Like, they could always make another move. I'd be shocked if they, say, traded Kyle Anderson. I don't think that's going to happen. Naz Reid and Jalen Newell are both expiring. They have the opportunity to bring one of them back, most likely. I would think Naz is more likely to extend him. at any point now or in the offseason. Also, they have options. Like Taurean Prince has a non-guaranteed contract. They have the ability to create more cap space if they want to. I'm not saying that's what I would do sitting here right now. I think Prince is a really important part of this team, but I'm saying it's a possibility. It opens up so much more flexibility versus, okay, we've either got to extend D'Lo and overpay him, or we have to go find somebody to fit into very minimal cap space to fill that role. And now you have Mike Conley. You have a baseline for what Mike Conley is and what he's going to bring to the table. And I think that that's very, very important for what the Wolves are trying to do. Plus, there's the added flexibility. You could trade Conley this offseason. I mean, Conley next year is on the books for $24.3 million, but it's only partially guaranteed. 48 hours after the draft this year, according to SpotRack.com, $14.3 million of his contract is guaranteed regardless. And the rest of it, the other 10-ish million, becomes guaranteed 2 days after the draft this summer. So Conley, there could be suitors for him, right? Like you could trade him draft night if you wanted to. Say things don't go well or he shows obvious signs of decline or whatever. You could trade Conley as part of a bigger deal this offseason and kind of reset the whole thing because a team could be interested in his partial guarantee. Like he becomes an asset this summer if you want to trade him. Otherwise, he's on your team next year. Yeah, he's 36 and he's, you know, declining in however many areas. But again, like Mike Conley right now, and I want to get into specifically what he does, is a really good fit for Minnesota's roster. Let's get into that next. Let's get into the specific fit for Conley, what he brings to the table, why I'm excited about that, and why I think he's better for this Wolves team than D'Angelo Russell. We're going to do that here next. Today's bonus episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to us by our title sponsors of today's show, and that is, of course, our friends over at LinkedIn. As a small business owner or hiring manager, you know that success in 2023 all depends on the team members you surround yourself with. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. With LinkedIn Jobs, you can hire qualified candidates more efficiently by matching open roles with people who have the skills, values, and experiences to help you achieve your goals. LinkedIn Jobs helps you quickly attract qualified candidates to your open jobs with targeting tools that go beyond resume data by using insights from your job post, company, and their 875 million member profiles to put your posts in front of the most qualified candidates. Identify the most qualified candidates on LinkedIn Jobs and connect with them fast and for free. LinkedIn Jobs makes it easy to screen and rate applicants based on your job qualifications all in one platform. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockdownNBA. That's linkedin.com/lockdownNBA to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. All right, so Conley's fit with the Wolves. If I haven't mentioned this, I love it. I think it's great. Let's start here. So the problem with D'Angelo Russell, and this is completely related, completely relevant. The problem with D'Angelo Russell, and this is, well, I'll stop qualifying it. I'll just say it. D'Lo is like this. If you're watching on YouTube, I'm waving my hand up and down like a crazy line graph or like a roller coaster. We could do that too, right? D'Lo. His highs are very high. He's a fantastic ISO shooter. He can get his shot off from anywhere. He's got pretty much limitless range. He's a volume three-point shooter. He can get hot, and he's impossible to stop, really, when he gets hot. He also is a really good passer when he makes the right decisions and when he's interested in passing, which isn't always the case. And he can be passable defensively. I think the last year, I think, was a little better than you know, thus far this season, but the last 2 years have probably been his best two defensive seasons of his career. Not probably, they have been. So D'Lo can be, I think he's an above average player. I think he's a very good player. I think he's probably a top, I don't know, call it 15 point guard in the league. I really mean that. However, maybe not top, maybe top 20. I think he's an above average starting point guard. And there's a lot of good guards, which I realize that I'm saying like more than half the league and that would be above average. But I think the median is somewhere below 15, right? I think that there's a lot of good point guards in this league, and I think D'Lo is one of them. However, it's volatile. It's a roller coaster. It's up, it's down, it's up, it's down. And when he's bad, he's really bad. And when he's good, he's really good. And that works out to a better than above average player or above average-ish player. The problem is the Wolves don't need the D'Lo highs when you have Anthony Edwards dominating the ball, you'll have Karl-Anthony Towns dominating the ball, you have Rudy Gobert, and then you'll have some secondary options in Jaden McDaniels and Mike Conley. So you don't need his highs, but his lows actively tank your really both ends of the floor, right? And then you factor in the fact, everything I talked about in the first segment related to his contract, needing to extend him, probably overpay him. And now you're trading him to force someone else to overpay him as he enters his, you know, in the middle of his prime, going to be looking for that last big contract, all that stuff. So you're replacing this volatile offense and defense. Again, a defense where the floor is like, you know, really bad and the ceiling is maybe average. And an offense who the ceiling is very high, but the floor is also pretty bad, right? When D'Lo's bad, he's actively bad. And now you get Mike Conley, who in a vacuum is not as good as D'Angelo Russell this season. I don't think he is. However, fit matters. And Mike Conley is a lower usage player. Before tonight's game, before Jazz Wolves on Wednesday night, I would have said this was a low-key benefit, but I think everybody saw this that watched Wolves Jazz. A benefit to this, and no longer so low-key after Wolves Jazz, is allowing Anthony Edwards to handle the ball full-time. Even if Mike Conley is your starting point guard, Anthony Edwards is initiating this offense. And Conley played with Donovan Mitchell. There's a lot of similarities between Edwards and Mitchell. They're not the same player. I'm not saying that they are, but there's a lot of similarities. And I think Edwards' ceiling is higher than Donovan Mitchell. Now, Mitchell's been insane this year. I would have said that unequivocally before the season, but Mitchell's been fantastic. All that to say, Conley's obviously played with Rudy Gobert. He's played with an Edwards-like player in Donovan Mitchell. He's fine with being lower usage. He's more than comfortable shooting threes in the corners. He's a better corner three-point shooter than D'Angelo Russell. He shoots more of them. He's fine doing that part of the role and also being a secondary initiator for the offense. That especially age 35, age 36, Mike Conley. And related to that, I said this on Twitter, Mike Conley has better catch and shoot numbers than D'Angelo Russell over the past several seasons. And I pulled just the last two because I think... it's the most relevant, right? This season so far and then last season, I'm going to pull up the actual numbers so I get them right. But, I mean, Mike Conley's been a better catch-and-shoot three-point shooter, which is how he's going to get most of his shots, right? Last season, Mike Conley was 41.4% on catch-and-shoot three-point attempts with the Jazz. D'Angelo Russell last season, 34.4%. Now, caveat, one of his worst shooting seasons of his career, sure. But 7 full percentage points better was Mike Conley. This season, Conley's 41.9% on catch-and-shoot threes. D'Lo's 38.5% on catch-and-shoot threes. So that's 3.4% worse than Conley. Also, I don't have these exact numbers in front of me, but I'm going to pull them for the full episode for Thursday. Conley's competitive with D'Angelo Russell in terms of shooting out of pick-and-roll, pull-up threes in pick-and-roll game. D'Lo's very good. Conley's also good. It's a little lower than D'Lo, but you're not seeing a massive drop off. It's like 2 or 3 points of a decline from D'Lo to Conley shooting threes out of pick and roll game. So there's a ton to like about the offensive fit. I mentioned the benefit of allowing Ant to play more offensively. There's a couple other things. I want to talk about Jaden McDaniels too. We're going to do that here next. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves, a bonus episode of Locked On Wolves, is brought to us by our friends over at FanDuel. This year, the only app you need at your Super Bowl party is FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. We're really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On because they're the number one sportsbook in America, FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, it's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. Download FanDuel now so you can bet Super Bowl 57 with a no sweat first bet. You'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel lets you bet on everything from the money line to point spreads to who will score a touchdown. The FanDuel Sportsbook app is safe, secure, and super easy to use. And best of all, you can get paid your winnings instantly. The Super Bowl is the best time to get onto FanDuel. Join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/LockedOn to claim your no sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. All right, last couple points here, and we'll put a bow on this. Jaden McDaniels is going to get a bigger role within the offense. And I don't know for sure if that's going to make the Wolves offense better right now this season or if this is a bigger deal next year. But Jaden McDaniels has more to give than as a spot-up three-point shooter. And the leaps and bounds he's made offensively in year three, you know, just a little more than halfway through the schedule in year three of his NBA career. Remember, he's young too. He's 21. He's improved leaps and bounds. His three-point percentages has improved. He's now an above-average three-point shooter, above league average three-point shooter by percentage. putting the ball on the floor the other night. He took 10 shots. None of them were threes, and he scored, you know, whatever it was, 16, 14 points. He had a great game. Defensively, fantastic. We know that. Facilitating the ball. He had a 6-assist game the other night. He's had 3 games this season with 5 or more assists. And we've seen all this stuff improve incrementally throughout the season. And he's now, it's not quite the jump we saw Ant made at the end of last season, but we're going to see something of a jump here from Jaden McDaniels, excuse me. And certainly D'Angelo Russell is the better all-around offensive player right now than Jaden McDaniels. But you're also bringing in Mike Conley, who knows how to be the straw that stirs the drink, and Jaden playing off of Anthony Edwards. And right now, like on Wednesday against Utah, McDaniels was the number 2 offensive option. I mean, I guess Jalen Noel, when he's on the floor, he's always the number 1 option, right? Even when Ant's on the floor. But all that to say, McDaniels goes from the clear 5th option in the offense. He jumps up a rung. He's 4th now. And if Rudy's not on the floor, he jumps up another rung, 3. Or if, you know, if one of Rudy, Kat, or Ant isn't on the floor, then McDaniels is a solid 3rd option. He's showing all those parts of his game. And no D'Lo means there's more ball to go around. It really does matter taking out a high usage player who, when he's good, he's very good. But sometimes, I mean, he's the main problem when it comes to turnovers, and there's less upside to his scoring, less overall efficiency than there is to Anthony Edwards' scoring ability, with more risk because of the turnover, or the risk is similar. They both turn it over a bunch, but Ant's reward is much higher than D'Angelo Russell. He gets the line more often. He gets into the paint more often. He's competitive at all 3 levels with what D'Lo does percentage-wise. And remember, this has been a career shooting year for D'Lo too. So there is probably some regression later in the season that the Lakers may have to deal with related to D'Angelo Russell. And then also Mike Conley, shifting gears a little, he's a better team defender than D'Angelo Russell. And yes, Conley's absolutely struggled defensively the last couple of seasons. He's taken a clear half step, maybe even a full step, or is a half or full step slower than he was when he was, you know, an all defensive caliber type guard several years ago in Memphis, really. But he's still a good team defender. He's still a better and more consistent defender, plays within the team concept, provides effort more so than D'Angelo Russell. Again, consistency. The baseline of consistency is very important. Less volatility is very important. Mike Conley does those things. He's a better, I'll summarize this very quickly. The salary stuff, that's a plus, right? They did the right thing from a salary perspective. From an immediate fit, Conley's a better catch and shoot shooter. Don't let people telling you, worry about the shooting. That's what they're talking about is high usage on ball shooting. The Wolves don't need that. They need ball movement. Ant can go get a shot whenever he wants. Karl Anthony Towns can go to get a shot basically whenever he wants. They don't need another guy who thinks he can in D'Angelo Russell. The shooting thing is not a concern. Conley's a better catch and shoot player. Conley's a lower usage player. He's played with Rudy Gobert. I haven't even talked about that fit. We'll talk about that on Thursday for the full show. And then it also allows McDaniels to step into a bigger role. It shores up the defense a bit. I didn't talk about Nikhil Alexander-Walker. I didn't talk about the second round picks. Those are all coming to Minnesota as well. This is a good trade for Minnesota. Is it the absolute best trade they could have gotten? I don't know. I mean, like, it would have been better to get Terrence Mann and a first rounder from the Clippers. Absolutely. Clearly, that couldn't have happened, or it would have, right? So all things considered, the fact that there was something apparently of a, I'll loosely call it a bidding war for D'Lo, is a positive for the Wolves. I thought this was handled really well by the front office, and I'm excited to see what happens with Conley on the Wolves. We'll break this all down in even more detail on Thursday. Also, Friday's show, like, we got the rest of the week to talk about this. Tons of stuff coming on Lockdown Wolves. Make sure to make us your first listen. A big thank you if you already do. Of course, we're free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. You can also, I said YouTube, you can also watch on the Locked On Sports Minnesota app on both Roku and Amazon Fire TV. Of course, Locked On Wolves is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your local experts on all the biggest stories. And don't forget to watch the trade deadline episode. That's tomorrow or today, if you're listening to this on Thursday. Thursday afternoon, 1 p.m. Central, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the Locked On NBA channel on YouTube, you can watch the NBA trade deadline show live, reaction from trades that will change the NBA season, who becomes contenders and who's tanking for a better future. Subscribe to Locked On NBA on YouTube and don't miss a deal. That's all I got for you today. Make sure to tune in Thursday. Appreciate you watching. Appreciate you listening. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast. We'll catch you next time.